Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to take this time to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We also have a TV program that airs right after this broadcast from 8 to 8:30 on public access channel number 6 on your TV entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a view. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist.harrisburg.com. You'll find all these radio programs and MP3 files under radio. You will also find our TV videos under TV videos under and Bible videos under the special study tabs and a host of other Bible-related material. At the end of this broadcast, we'll give you the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. Our desire is to have you know the need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. We have been studying the book of 1 Peter. We are now looking at the last verses of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 through 25. We have been talking about following the example of Jesus. And first, in the last couple of weeks, we talked about following His example in submission as He was to His Father. We need to be in submission to Him. And then last week, we studied that we need to be in follow the example of the sufferings of Christ, that we suffer for doing right, and we should be willing to suffer that suffering for doing right because He suffered for us. Remember, He did not suffer for His sin. He suffered for our sin. He suffered because you and me sinned, because we wanted to sin. And so, therefore, He took that on willingly out of love. We need to suffer for doing right. When we are doing the things that God put us here to do, and we suffer for that, we should not be down in the mouth. We should not wallow around in self-pity, not cry, woe is me, but we should do that joyfully and cheerfully because we are following in the Master's example. The last part of this, following the example of Jesus, is we want to talk about following His example in resisting temptation. A particular, very dangerous doctrine has risen among some of the Lord's church in that Jesus was not tempted to sin as you and I are. But again, that doesn't square with the scripture. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but in all points was tempted as we are, yet without sin. You see, He was tempted in all ways, yet without sin. Now, I also want to read James chapter 1 and verse number 12. James 1 and verse number 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life from the Lord that is promised to those who love Him. Let no one, when he is tempted, say, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He Himself tempt anyone. Now, this is where the difficulty arises, understanding how to reconcile Hebrews 4:15 and James 1:12-13. But before we get to how easy that is to reconcile, Jesus was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. That's what Hebrews 2, verse 9 told us. That is, He was made in the form and fashion of a man. Read Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 11. As a man, Jesus is one with mankind, and the captain perfected through His suffering, as we read in Hebrews 2 and verse 10 and 11. He calls us brethren and learn to put His trust in God, according to Hebrews 2, 11 through 13. He partook of flesh and blood, just like we do. He lived in the same body like you and me do. Read Hebrews 2:14. In all things, He had to be made like His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God for the propitiation of the sins of His people. For in that He Himself has suffered, being tempted, He is able to aid those who are being tempted. Hebrews 2:17-18. Jesus can aid us because He was tempted like we are. And note, Jesus' suffering included his temptation. Now, let us go back for just a moment to the two verses. In Hebrews 4:15, it says he was tempted in all ways as man, yet without sin. James 1 says that God cannot be tempted with evil. Now, we know that Jesus was God. We know that he was the Son of God. We know he was deity on earth, the incarnated Christ, both man and God at the same time. Yet, here's how to explain it. He was tempted as a man, not as God. Let's just give you one example. In the wilderness, when he was tempted by the devil, he's led out to the wilderness, and the first temptation was to make these stones bread. That wouldn't be temptation to God, because God is a spirit and doesn't need food. But that would be temptation to a man who was out in the wilderness and had not eaten for 40 days. That would be a temptation. And so he was tempted as man, not as God. We are tempted as men. And God showed us through his Son that we could say no to sin, that we could overcome temptation. And we have the promise of God in 1 Corinthians 10 that with every temptation, he will make a way of escape that we might be able to bear it, and that no temptation has taken us that is not common to man. And he will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we're able. That's a divine promise from God. And so Jesus was tempted in all ways like as we, yet without sin. While we often look at temptations of Jesus in Matthew 4 to discuss the subject and to see how Jesus overcame temptation, Peter here is looks to the suffering of the temptations of the cross, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Absolutely sinless. Never a sin in any sense. Not one single instance did he sin. Never did he sin. Also see 1 John 3 verse 5. No sin in the tongue, no guile, no deceit, no murmuring, no backbiting. He didn't do it. Never, not one time. Christians, especially suffering slaves, might be tempted to deceive with the tongue. But that's dangerous. Read James chapter 3. We are called to do something better. We are to follow the example of our Savior. Jesus was sinless, not only in deed, but also in word. So should we be. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten. He was as a lamb led to the slaughter, yet he opened not his mouth. Read Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7 and 8. A silent lamb. Christ silently endured false testimony that was reviling him. Read Matthew 26, 59 through 63. Jesus sat silent before Herod, according to Luke's account in Luke 23, verse 8 and 9. He suffered being spit upon, being scourged, being bitten, being slapped, being struck, being mocked. Read Matthew 26, 67 and 68. Christ silently suffered false accusations before Pilate, and yet he endured them. Matthew 27, 12 through 14. Christ patiently endured the mocking and the scourging. Matthew 27, 28 through 31. When he could have spoken such a way to deliver himself, he refused to do so. Read John 19, 7 through 11. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he did not. While dying, he listened to the blasphemy and asked the Lord, the Father, to forgive them, for they know not what they do. Read Matthew 27, 39 through 44. All of this that was happening to him, wrongly, he had committed no sin. He had done no evil. He had not committed one atrocity. He had not wronged man in any way. And because of all this, Jesus got the cross. But in all of this, Jesus did not sin. He overcame the temptation to lash out and to sin with his mouth or to sin in his heart. He refused to do so. So must we. It says, but he committed himself to him who judges righteously. He put his hand in the hand of his Father. So should mistreated slaves and other Christians always trust in the Lord. Jesus, while being horribly accused, abused by man, trusted in the righteous judgment of his Father to balance the scales and to make everything right. Accused of being a devil, a winebibber, a glutton, in league with Beelzebub, a blasphemer, and a lawbreaker, he endured it all. He suffered it all, and he did so willingly, and he did so without sin. Let that sink in, ladies and gentlemen. All the mistreatment, all the misconduct, all the wrong, all the evil done to the man, not only at the cross, but all the time while he lived upon earth and tried to show his love for man, not one time, not one solitary time did he ever commit sin. He said no to sin. We must follow that example. Jesus was our perfect example. He is our model. He is our pattern that we should strive to follow after. He showed us the way, and we are to follow closely in his steps according to our reading. For the Christian slave, this means to humbly, quietly, bear up under the suffering of a cruel master. Even when the slave has done what is right and good, if he's mistreated, he should take it patiently. Now for us who are children of God generally, this means to follow Jesus in every respect. And when we suffer for doing well, we bear up under it, as Jesus did when he was punished for our sin, for our iniquity, for our transgression, and for our mistakes. Jesus paid the price. He suffered for us. Now, in these verses at the end of chapter 2, we need to remember that Peter is encouraging us to follow in the steps of our Savior, that we are to endure suffering, that we are to endure temptation. We are to say no, we are to resist it. We are to resist every onslaught of our adversary, the devil, who seeks to destroy us, to destroy our soul, to destroy our relationship with God, and to destroy our hope in Christ by getting us to commit sin, by getting us to not follow in the steps of our Savior, by getting us to resist in a way that we commit sin. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's a choice that every one of us make every day. People can mistreat you. People can talk bad about you. People can misinform people about you. They can do terrible things to you. They can say terrible things to you. They could make fun of you. They could belittle you for your values, for your morals, and for your beliefs. They can do all of that. But not anything that they can do should ever cause us to commit sin. We should follow in the steps of our Savior and follow his example. He was tempted in all ways like as we, yet without sin. We must follow in his steps. We must suffer for doing good and do it patiently, willingly, and joyfully, because that's the example that our Master set for us. Thank you for listening. We'll continue in chapter